focus on to begin here is in verse number 6, where the Bible reads, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Now keep your finger here in Proverbs 22. Go back to Genesis chapter 18. First book in the Bible is Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 18 while your finger's there in Proverbs 22. I'm preaching about training your children tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. The Bible reads, "For I know him," and this is talking about Abraham, "For I know him," God says, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." So the Bible says of Abraham that God knew that he would train his children and that he would command his children and his household after him, and that they would do right because he taught them to do right and because he commanded them and trained them to do right. Go back to Proverbs 22 where it says in verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old he'll not depart from it." Verse 8 says this, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." Now I'm going to come back to that thought, the rod of his anger shall fail, but look at verse 15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now the first aspect of child rearing that I want to bring up is not the only aspect, but it's an important aspect, and that's spanking your children. And the Bible makes it clear here that the rod of correction will drive foolishness out of the heart of a child. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Obviously, a child is not born knowing to do right. It's not born with a tendency to do right. A child is born with a tendency to do everything wrong. You don't have to train a child to lie. It instinctively will lie. You don't have to train a child to obey and come when it's called and do what it's supposed to do. I mean, you do have to train it to do those things. To do everything wrong comes naturally because we all have a sin nature. And so the Bible teaches that children are foolish. So we can't have an expectation of a child acting like an adult. Obviously, that's an unreasonable expectation. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. He's going to make mistakes when he's young. He's going to do the wrong thing when he's young. But when he's old, he'll do what's right once he's grown up. And the Bible says here, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Keep your finger in chapter 22. Look at chapter 23, verse 13. The Bible says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." There's no question that the Bible is teaching here that we're to spank our children. You can try and interpret it and go back to the Hebrew and say whatever you want. But it's clear that when he's talking about the rod, he said, I'm talking about beating him with the rod. I'm talking about spanking the child. And we're not talking about abuse or injuring the child, but spanking the child and disciplining him and correcting him with the rod. Now remember that verse I showed you in verse 8 of chapter 22 that said, the rod of his anger shall fail? Often the substitute for the biblical method of disciplining your children, which is to take the rod and beat them with the rod, spank, and I'm not talking about beating them up like we think of the word beat, but actually just spanking them, actually, you know, applying the rod to the padded area that God provided for them to be spanked, and to inflict pain as a teaching tool. That's what the Bible teaches, and as a way of punishment. But often what becomes the substitute for spanking is anger. That's why the Bible says the rod of his anger shall fail. Now, the rod being used to spank the child, the Bible says that's going to work. It will drive foolishness from the heart of the child. But the rod of anger shall fail. And you see people, instead of spanking their child, they just get angry at their child. They just start yelling, you know, and start to yell at it. And that is not biblical discipline. Biblical discipline is spanking, not anger and screaming and yelling and flipping out. Now, I'm not saying that there's never a time to be angry. Okay, the Bible teaches that there is a time to be angry. There were times when Jesus was angry. But the Bible also teaches that we should not just be an angry person. In chapter 22, the same chapter, it says in verse 24, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians says, be ye angry. He's telling us to be angry. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So the wise person does become angry at times, just like Jesus became angry at times, just like the Bible tells us that there are certain things that we should become angry about. But the wise person does not harbor anger in their heart from day to day. They don't let the sun go down on their wrath. They go to bed at night without anger, without malice, and so forth. But people who are just angry as their temperament, as in they're just on a short fuse all the time, they're always mad, they're easily provoked. The Bible says we should not be easily provoked, but that we should be long-suffering and calm. Yes, there's a time to be angry, but that time is not all the time. And that time is not just at a hair trigger. And that time is not every time your children disobey to just get angry. Instead of getting angry, correct the problem biblically. Instead of yelling at the child, spank the child and then move on. And you say, well, that's child, spanking is child abuse. Well, in reality, spanking your children is not only the only biblical method of disciplining your child, but it is also the most humane and loving way to discipline your child. Because I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I always preferred a spanking than getting yelled at. Because the great thing about a spanking is that you feel like you've been punished. Okay? And yes, get that word in your mind. I'm going to talk about that word. Punished. Do you hear that? Say that with me. Punish. Okay? Because this is a word that today is considered a bad word. Punishment. Even among Christians, even among independent fundamental Baptists, they say, you don't punish your child. We don't get punished and so forth. No. Punishment. Now, the reason that spanking is the best form of discipline, aside from the fact that God said to do it, that should be enough right there. But the reason that it's good is because it's punishment. And the good thing about punishment is that when you're a child and you've done something wrong, and then you get punished, well, you feel as if the scales have been balanced, the scales of justice. You've done something wrong, now you've been punished, now you can move on. Now, if there's no punishment, then there can be a rift in the relationship between the parent and the child. Because the parent can just be angry at their child. I can't believe that they did that. But if there's been a punishment, then it's okay. We can forgive and move on. It's been dealt with. There's closure. Something, you know, the problem has been corrected and taken care of. I've been punished. You know, when you've done wrong and you've been punished, then it's time for you to move on and be forgiven. And you don't have to be angry at your child 5 minutes later, an hour later, 2 hours later. Like these punishments that go on, you know, these groundation or this timeouts or all these other punishments that just last and last and last. And then there can be just, you know, I'm mad at you, you know, to the child. Yeah, that's not biblical. It's better to just be punished and move on. And after punishment has been administered, you ought to move on. Now, this is a biblical principle about forgiveness that goes in throughout the Bible. Now, today in our justice system, if a person commits a crime and then they're punished for that crime, let's say it's a misdemeanor or a felony, and then they're punished for that crime, that person carries that crime around with them for the rest of their life as a criminal record. That is not biblical. The Bible teaches that after a person has been punished for their crimes, that crime should never be mentioned to them again because they've already been punished. They've already done their time. And if that's biblical in the criminal justice system, we should apply that in our own lives too. Once we've punished our children, we shouldn't just be bringing it up again and just throwing it in their face over and over again. Punish them and move on and move forward with it. Okay? Now, I'm primarily speaking about raising younger children tonight. And the reason why I want to preach mostly about raising younger children is because that's the most important phase of child rearing. Because by the time they get to be teenagers and adults, it's pretty much too late in many cases. You've already raised them. You've already done what you've done. And, you know, you ought not have to be constantly spanking someone who's an adult or a teenager, okay? Because obviously the whole goal of spanking your child is that they would learn something. And so you should start out with more spankings in the beginning, and the older they get, you should be spanking them less and less and less. Until they're old enough to where you don't even need to spank them anymore because they've already learned the lessons and they're actually mature enough to do what they're supposed to do and not constantly need to be spanked. And you could actually just tell them what they need to do and they're just going to do it. So this is something that should start out with a lot of spanking and should taper off as they get old, as they're learning something. And if you just have to just keep spanking, obviously they're not learning anything, then obviously you're doing something wrong. You're making a mistake with your discipline. And so, just as we should not rub someone's nose in their past crimes, even though our society does that and makes you put that on a job application 20 years later, which is totally unbiblical, and you say, well, they have to have that criminal record to protect us from these really bad people. Well, no, because the really bad people, according to the Bible, are just put to death. So you don't have to worry about a criminal record on them. You know, the child molesters and the rapists and the murderers, they were just put to death. So it didn't. You didn't have to do a background check on it. You just check the cemetery because they're dead, and so you don't have to worry about that. But when it comes to other crimes like theft, you know, stealing or drugs or whatever else is against the law, you know, people have to carry that around with them for the rest of their life, and then it causes them to have a hard time moving on from that, and then they have a hard time getting a job, and then it's probably just going to lead them into more crime. So it's really foolish that our government does not follow the biblical plan for punishment. But let's talk about the word punishment. You say, well, we should never punish our children. And I saw an Independent Fundamental Baptist had sent me something in the mail, some kind of a newsletter, and they were explaining in this newsletter about how God never punishes his children, and we shouldn't punish our children. And this is what he said. He only chastises and chastens, and that's different. Okay. Well, that's just total ignorance. And I've heard that many times. I've heard people say, well, God never, and they said, he never says in the whole Bible that he punishes his children. Well, first of all, it's not true, because in Hebrews chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 10, God talks about punishing saved people. Right. Talks about punishing his children, his people. So that's just wrong right there. But not only that, the word chastise and chasten, you're not going to believe what it means. It means to punish. Now, if you just simply, even just looking it up in the dictionary, it says, to discipline. I looked this up in the dictionary today. Chastise. To discipline. Especially by corporal punishment. Corporal means bodily. Corporal punishment is the definition of chastise. I looked up chasten. It pretty much said the same thing. Next to both words, it had a list of synonyms. The first synonym, punish. Castigate. Now, did you get that? Chastise. Now, CH sound, right? It makes a ch sound. What other sound does CH make in the English language? K sound, right? Like Christian? Well, that's because the word chastise comes from the Latin word castigare, which means to punish in Latin. Okay? And it also means to castigate, which means to punish. These are the synonyms for chastise in the dictionary. Punish, castigate, whip, beat, flog, spank. Okay? So, it means punish. It's the same thing. And so, punishment is what God wants us to do with our children, corporal punishment. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. So, first of all, we saw the Bible says, withhold not correction from the child. Now, the word withhold there, that sounds like you're holding back something from the child that the child deserves or needs. You're withholding something that's necessary. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You say, why will spanking your child deliver your child from hell? Because then they'll understand that just as their parent punishes them when they do wrong, God punishes people for all eternity in hell. Okay, and then they'll realize, I need to get saved. I need to believe on Jesus Christ. Otherwise, I'm going to have to face an eternal punishment, an everlasting punishment. But you see, most people today don't believe in hell because they say, I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell because they don't believe God punishes. Why? Because they grew up having no consequences for their actions. Doing wrong, no consequence. And their parents would not discipline them. Their parents would not spank them. Their parents would not punish them. And therefore, they grow up thinking, well, God's not going to punish me. My parents let me get away with everything. God's probably the same way. Because when we look at our earthly parents, that's symbolic of our heavenly Father. And those that do not get spanked as a child, they're going to grow up and believe in a God that doesn't punish. Because they have a mom and a dad who don't punish. They probably think that God is just going to give them a time out. That's like purgatory, I guess. You know, he's going to put you in time out for a while. No, he's going to put you in hell forever. And that's why the Bible makes it clear we need to spank our children. It can have to do with whether or not they even get saved. Because if you don't believe in hell, there's no need to get saved. And if you don't believe in a God who punishes, then you're going to look at the gospel. It's not even going to make any sense to you that Jesus took your punishment for you. You won't even see why that's even important. But look at Proverbs 10:13. The Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Look at Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. The Bible reads, he that spareth his rod spoils the child. Is that what it says? Now that's a common saying, right? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Very true. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now that's a much stronger... I wish that saying would catch on. Yeah. Spare the rod, you hate your child. That's the truth. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. We already talked about what chasten means, what chastise means. Notice, chasten is used in the same verse as the rod. Corporal punishment. Discipline with the rod. That's what it's talking about when it says chasten, to punish the child. It says he chasteneth them betimes. What does the word betimes mean? Now, a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that we know what words mean without really knowing what they mean. Like, we look at the word betimes, and most people, if they just wanted to guess what that meant, they'd say, oh, it just means from time to time. Betimes. No, but that's not what it means. Betimes has only one definition, and that is not the definition. You can go to a dictionary, but you don't even need a dictionary. Let the Bible be your dictionary. The Bible says that Abraham rose up betimes in the morning. What does that sound like to you? Rose up early in the morning. You look up the word betimes in any dictionary, it'll tell you it means early. That's all it means. And so when the Bible says, he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, what's he saying? He that loveth him chasteneth him early. 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 We're talking about when they're young. Okay? This isn't something that you start late. You start early. Now, obviously, when a baby's born, it has no concept of right and wrong. It has no concept of obedience. It cannot even understand your commands. But there has to be some point at which you begin to discipline, right? Because we know when it's born, it has no concept. It's not doing anything wrong. It's not sinning. It doesn't have a clue what it's... It's just... alive, it just eats. But as it grows up and as it matures, there's going to come a time when that child will begin to sin and do what's wrong and begin to break your commandments and break your law. You know, you tell the child to do something, it won't do it. It'll do the opposite. And you'll start to see that look in their eye of mischief. You know, that look of I'm going to do wrong and I want to, you know. Look, that's when it's time to start disciplining. Okay, you can't sit there and wait until, well, I'm going to wait till they're five. It's too late. The child's going to be a brat. It's going to be a monster by then. And, you know, you've heard of the terrible twos? You know, and sometimes they say that's from 1.5 to 2 or 2 to 4 or whatever that is. The terrible twos, whatever you want to call it. But I'll say this, it's not the same with every child. Because I've had children that just were perfect little angels, and it was when they were older that they started acting up, and they needed no discipline in the real early days. Others needed discipline really early on. It's not going to be the same with every child. I can't tell you when that is, but people will sit there and you know, let me tell you this: 2 years old, too late. You know, and look, I'm probably going to get arrested for saying this or something. It's true, though. You know, when they're 1 year old, they need to be disciplined when they're 1 year old. I mean, when they turn one, they already need to be disciplined. And obviously, it needs to be age specific. You know, obviously, you're not beating them with a rod when they're 1 year old. But, you know, a slap on the wrist, you know, some kind of a spanking on the bottom. Definitely, I mean, all of my children were spanked by the time they were 1 year old. Now, some of them needed it you know, they didn't even need it until they were about one. Some of them needed it a few months before that. You know, different times, you know, it could be 6 months, it could be 9 months, it could be a year, year and a half. It's just whenever they act up. And usually, what do you think was the average with our children, Juja? Around 12 months or so is when, you know, is a good rule of thumb. And maybe a little earlier, maybe a little later. It just depends on the child. But for sure, all of them by 12 months were getting some kind of discipline. And again, it's age specific. Okay. Now, let me just park here for a minute. Okay. And look, I'm teaching you this because I love you. Okay. Because if I didn't love you, and if you want to find a pastor who doesn't love you, he won't teach you this because he's afraid to teach this. Because he's afraid, oh man, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. You know what? I'm going to say it because it's biblical, and I really don't care what our wicked government thinks about it and has to say about it. You know, because I love you too much to not teach you the truth on this. You need to learn this, and this is biblical, and I'm going to stand on it. Now, let me teach you this. The purpose of spanking your child, and you say, oh, they're going to make spanking. They can never make spanking illegal. Maybe on some piece of paper somewhere, but in my house it'll never be illegal. And in any real Christian's home, and in any real church, it'll never be illegal, because it's biblical. And this Bible is more important than what anybody says. And it's completely, perfectly, and by the way, just so you know, it's perfectly legal to spank your children. People will just try to lie to you and intimidate you like, oh, it's not legal to spank. It's totally legal to spank in Arizona, in California. It is legal. They've tried to pass laws against spanking in Arizona. They tried to pass laws in California, but it's not illegal, despite what they'll tell you. It is totally legal to spank your child. And even if it weren't legal, I'd do it anyway, because it's biblical. But anyway, here's the thing about spanking. Your goal with spanking is to inflict pain, right? As a form of punishment, as a form of discipline. I mean, let's face it, spankings hurt. So you put two and two together as a child, and you say, when I disobey, I feel a burning sensation on my behind. I think I'm not going to do that anymore. It's a cause and effect relationship between getting spanked and doing the wrong thing. Now, I grew up, and I thank God that my parents spanked me. I thank God for it. They spanked me often and hard, and that's why I turned out okay. So I got a lot of spankings when I was growing up. And they even told me they spanked me more than any of the other children. And I, you know, thank you, Mom and Dad. You really love me. So I got a lot of spankings growing up. But the purpose of giving a spanking is to inflict pain. But it's never to injure. So you don't want to injure the child, right? You want there to be pain, but you don't want injury to take place. The Bible's not teaching you to injure your child. And you know what I mean by injure? Like, you know, basically harming them in some way. You know, you just want them to feel the sting of being spanked. And let me just give you some real clear tips on spanking. Number one, you know, when you're spanking a small child, and children wear diapers till they're what? 3 years old a lot of the time? I mean, it's different with every child. Some children are potty trained when they're a year and a half old, three and a half, whatever. So children are wearing diapers when they're one, two, three. Even a lot of four-year-olds I've seen in diapers. Okay? Let me just give you a tip. Never spank your child through the diaper. Okay? Here's why. Because the diaper is a big, thick padding. And if you spank the child through the diaper, it's not going to hurt, number one. Number two, if you spank the child through the diaper and it does hurt, you're probably injuring your child. Think about it. Because in order to, you know, give a spanking through the diaper, the only way you're going to do it is just by hitting it with so much force that you're going to hurt the child. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't want to injure the child, and you're going to give it whiplash and a misalignment of the spine before you even get a spanking. So, and the reason I'm saying this is because I've seen it hundreds of times. I've seen people pummeling, and that's the only word to use for it, pummeling their child through a diaper, and it's just not going to do anything. And you're going to hurt your child, and you're not inflicting it. You got to pull down the diaper. You got to get the diaper out of the way in some way, shape, or form, and you spank their bottom, not through a padding or a diaper. You know, by the time that you've inflicted any pain, you're harming the child or injuring. And again, you're not trying to injure your child. You're just trying to discipline them, okay, and spank them. And so don't spank through the diaper, okay? And number two, you're probably better off You know, most people probably aren't some kind of a kung fu expert or something like that. You're probably better off using, like the Bible says, a rod. You know, some kind of a paddle to spank your child. Not just your bare hand. Okay. Because again, you don't want to pummel it. You don't want to hurt the child as far as harm it. You want to inflict pain. And doing it with a rod, as the Bible says, you're going to inflict a stinging pain without harming the child. But you want it to hurt. Now, I've seen a lot of people spank their children, and frankly, the spankings that they're giving aren't hurting. And if your child's smiling while you're spanking it, you're not hurting, you know, you're not accomplishing anything. And if you spank your child, and then they just keep doing the same thing 10 seconds later, and then you spank it, and it does the same thing, and you spank it, and it does the same thing, and then the next day you spank it, and it does the same thing, obviously it doesn't fear that spanking. Obviously that spanking's not hurting. And you know what I often do? I often try it on myself to test out whether you're even really spanking right. I mean, because sometimes you'll see somebody spanking and it's like, you know, well, guess what? That doesn't hurt. You know? Come on up here, son.
Hey.
John. Come on up here, John. I'm going to pick on you. I always pick on Solomon, so I got to pick on John here for a different victim. I mean, volunteer this time. Come on up here, John. So look at that face. Everybody see that face? Okay, look. Does he look like he's in a lot of pain? Because guess what? This doesn't hurt, okay? This is a pat on the fanny, okay? Go ahead and sit down, John. But you know what? That's how most people... How many of you have seen people spank their children at that level right there? And that's what I'm saying. You know, try it out. It doesn't hurt. It's a pat on the fanny, okay? And you know, other people, you know, you gotta take whatever you're using. A ruler is probably a good thing. You know, a wooden cooking spoon, right? Especially that one with the hole in it. Ouch. You know, whatever you use for the rod, try it out, you know. Slap it onto your arm and see, because you want to gauge what this feels like. You know, and you say, well, you know, I don't know if I can handle the pain of it. You know, well, maybe you're spanking the child a little too hard if you can't handle it and you're an adult, okay? So, you know, try it out, get a feel for how hard to spank, and then you can spank them properly. You're not injuring them, you're not pummeling them, or, you know, you're just inflicting that stinging sensation, you know. And, you know, you might be able to accomplish that with your bare hand, but most people are not going to be that skillful with their hand, you know, unless there's something, like I said, some kind of a kung fu expert or something, you know, all these pressure points or something. You know, most people with your hand, you're not going to be able to accomplish the right spank. Now, sometimes, yeah, and maybe once you've had six of them, you'll get pretty good at it. You know, you get a black belt and whatever. But anyway, you know, you've got to use some kind of an implement, some kind of a ruler, a cooking spoon, something like that, in order to inflict some pain without hurting and harming the child as far as injuring it, okay? So I just want to stop and explain that. Because, you know, I'd hate to get up and preach on spanking, and it's all a big waste of time if you're going to sit there and pummel your child through its diaper, or pat it on the fanny, and it you know, laughs at you and laughs in your face, and then you're going to say spanking doesn't work. Spanking works, because the Bible says it's going to work, and if it's not working, you're doing it wrong. Period. The mistake is not with God's method, the mistake is with you. So you need to study the Bible more, you need to understand what the Bible is saying, and you need to implement this in a biblical way, and then it will work, or else you're doing something wrong, not the Bible. Did we read Proverbs 10:13? We read Proverbs 13:24. Go to Proverbs 26, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Proverbs 26:2. And you know, the whole sermon is not about spanking. I want to get past this point, though, about spanking. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. You know, that's an important thought right there, because everything in this world is based upon cause and effect. Things don't happen for no reason. Your children don't turn out right for no reason. And your children don't turn out wrong for no reason. It's a cause and effect. And that's why I read that verse. But let's look at the next verse. And you know, I think this is really a continuation of that thought. He says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Now, I like that because it's not even really a complete sentence. But if God says it, it must be right. And so he's just explaining very simply there that, again, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. The rod of correction will bring it far from him. Even an adult that's a fool, And in the Bible, that's how they used to punish people, by the way, for a lot of different offenses. They didn't put people in jail and prison all the time. They would just give them stripes. Scourge them. Flog them. That was biblical punishment. Remember, of course, Jesus was flogged. Of course, he was innocent. He was being punished for the wrong thing. And, the disciples were flogged for preaching the gospel. But they used to actually flog real criminals, too. And the Bible teaches that. And the Bible just made a rule in the Mosaic Law that said that you can never strike someone more than 40 times. And the Bible has that rule that to punish criminals, let's say somebody robbed something or whatever, they're supposed to pay it back. But if someone broke the law, if someone committed a crime, they could be beaten for that crime. They could be scourged for that crime. And the Bible just made a rule that said you can never scourge someone more than 40 times. And that's why, do you remember in the Bible that always say they would do 39 stripes or that they would do 40 save one? The reason why is because they didn't want to accidentally lose count. Because you know how it is when you're doing something and, you're flogging somebody and you lose track of what you're doing. Well, I don't know. But anyway, you lose track of what you're doing. Was I on 27 or 28? Well, you didn't want to break that law because now you're going to be punished. And the Bible teaches punishment that's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So guess what? If you flog them too many times, guess what? They're going to turn around and flog you. So it was really important not to go above that 40 boundary. And so they said, hey, let's just do 39. That way, in case we mess up or somebody says we did more, we're still got that buffer. We've got that grace of that one extra. You shouldn't even be getting anywhere close to 40, obviously, with your children. I've heard, but I mean, people, there are psychos out there. There are weirdos out there. And there are people out there who've spanked their children hundreds of times. Obviously, that's not biblical. God said no more than 40. But I don't even think that's not even referring to children. That's referring to adults. And so if you're spanking right, it shouldn't even be anywhere near that. That goes without saying, but that is a biblical teaching. Go to chapter 29. That was chapter 26, verse 3. Go to Proverbs 29:15. The Bible says the rod is obviously referring to spanking. The rod and reproof. Reproof is basically verbally telling your children what they've done wrong. So that is part of it too. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So here we see, spanking is not enough. We need to give reproof and wisdom through the rod, through reproof. But he says that's not enough because he says, but a child left to himself will cause his mother shame. Now, why would it cause mother shame? Why would it not cause father shame? Well, because here's the thing. Father is probably out at work most of the time in a typical household and a biblical household. Mom is staying home with the kids. Dad's going out to work every day. Dad's leaving the house. So who's with the child more, mom or dad? Obviously, mom is there more often. And the Bible says a child left to himself causes mother shame because mother is probably the one that's going to leave that child to themselves because the mother is the one that's watching it all day. Okay? Now, this verse tells me, too, that it's not just dad's job to discipline. It's mom's job, too. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself will cause bringeth his mother to shame. And so don't think that it's just dad's job to discipline. And, it shouldn't be that when dad gets home, it's like, well, you need to spank your child for the, here's nine things it did wrong the whole day. Spank it. It should be spanked when it commits the sin. It should be spanked by mom right when it does the crime. And not have to wait till dad gets home. Plus, dad doesn't want to come home and just be the bad guy. And just show up and it's just the first day. Hi, kids, I'm home. Okay, who needs spanking? Line up, kids. Where's the bell? Line them up. Obviously, that's not what you want to do when you get home. Okay? And so, obviously, moms need to spank too. This is mom's job and dad's job. But not only that, but don't just leave the child to itself. Forget spanking. Don't leave your child to itself. Spend time with your children. Spank? It's not enough to just spank them and then send them out and put them in front of the TV again. You know, spank them and send them back outside. You know, you got to take the time to train them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Training is hard work. Training is not a passive activity. It's an active activity. Think about it. What are other uses of the word training in your mind? What do you think of when you think of training? What did you say? Potty training. Yeah. What did you say? Athletes. Okay. He said athletes. Well, here's the thing. If you've ever trained an athlete or witnessed athletes being trained or been trained, the trainer is working hard at it. They don't just tell you, you know, they don't just tell you, well, go do this and I'll see you in an hour. You know, usually when there's training, they're right there with you. They're watching, okay, do this, change this. If it's a good trainer, they're going to be hands-on. And so that's something that takes a lot of effort, a lot of work. People are getting paid to be a trainer. You know, a personal trainer or an athletic trainer. What else comes to mind when you think of training? Come on, what else? There's a really obvious one that people aren't thinking of right now. How about a job? Yeah, exactly. How about you go to your job and you start out. The first thing you do when you get a new job is you get trained. Now, when you get trained, somebody's standing right there with you and training you and helping you and working with you. Training takes effort. It takes a person to be your trainer and to teach you. Well, as a parent, you're a trainer. And so you're there guiding your children, showing them how to do things, showing them the right way to do it, teaching them and explaining to them what's right. Not just a negative-only training of just punishing what they do wrong, but also teaching them how to do things right. Now today, our technology, there are some benefits to technology. For example, we can get in the car and drive to a small town and knock every door and give the gospel and get the gospel out. We can listen to preaching on the internet. We can listen to the Bible on an audio CD. You know, there are good uses for technology, but you know, technology has destroyed a lot of things about our society also. And now we have TV, which has become, and I don't have a TV. I got rid of my TV. I've never owned a TV since I've been married. I haven't had TV. We got rid of it, and I don't watch it, and I refuse to watch it. And the thing is, TV has become the babysitter today. And it's so tempting to just set your kids in front of the TV. You know, but you're not training them. You're not teaching. You're leaving them to themselves with some electronic device, whether it's a TV or even just putting them in front of the computer all day, putting them in front of a video game all day, putting them in front of this and front of that, instead of taking the time to spend time with your children. You know, mom, if you're in the kitchen cooking, you know, have the child there with you. Talk with the child. Teach it. Explain it. Show it how to cook. You know, show it how to do things around the house and take care of basic chores and take care of things. And explain to them biblical principles and teach them things that they need to know. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Don't leave your children to themselves. Have them with you. If you're going to go out and do an errand, take them with you. Bring them with you. You know, and honestly, when my wife and I, when we go out on a date, we take the children with us. And most people don't agree with that and don't like that. But personally, I just don't leave my children with people anyway because I don't trust anybody with my children. I wouldn't trust you with $1 million. I'm not going to trust you with my children that are worth more than $1 million. And so I take my children with me everywhere I go. I mean, you know, I don't leave them with people. You know, I don't leave them with, oh, they're from church. That means nothing. I mean, how many times do you have to see people in church and pastors turn out to be pedophiles and weirdos and perverts before you realize not to just send your kids with somebody because they're from church, because they're a Christian? You know, I was thinking about this. You remember that sermon that I preached a couple weeks ago? And I don't know, some of you were here, but I was on it. It was on a Wednesday night. And remember I told that story from Judges 19 through 21? And I told that story about that guy with his concubine, and it ended up ending really bad. Who remembers that story I just talked about a couple weeks ago? Well, if you look at that story, I didn't touch on this, and hopefully, you know, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands of who went home and read the story. Hopefully you all went home and read the story and didn't just listen to me tell the story. But if you go back and look at that story, you'll notice that when the man with his concubine and the servant, when it's getting late and they're looking for a place to stay, they said this. They said, well, we don't want to stay in a foreign town. They said, we want to make sure we're staying in a town that belongs to the children of Israel. And they said, this town up here belongs to the tribe of Benjamin. It's in the land of Israel, so we know we're going to be safe there, is basically what they're saying. And that's the mentality, like, oh, well, these people are Christians, so we know we're going to be okay. Were they okay in that town? No. That was a bad town to stay in. But it was Christian. It was Israelite. You know, it was God's people. But guess what? Everybody who says they're God's people isn't really God's people. And those people, they thought they were God's people. Oh, the tribe of Benjamin. For sure. Turned out they weren't God's people. They were the sons of Belial. They were the children of the devil in that town. And so watch out of just leaving your children. But you know what? I thank God that I've had that philosophy for a second reason. Not only to keep my children safe, but guess what? It's just forcing my wife and I to just spend more time with our children. Because when we go out and do some activity, we take them with us. We go camping, we take them with us. We go hiking, we take them with us. And yeah, it gets a little heavy, but you know, that's a good workout when you got one on the front and one on the back, and my wife's got one strapped on. And we do some serious hiking with those baby carriers, you know. And we got the children strapped on, and we're holding them and hiking. And that's a good workout right there. But we take them with us. And I spend a ton of time with my children. And my wife spends a ton of time with the children. Because I believe that that is one of the keys to raising children to be righteous. Number one, discipline them. But number two, spend time with them. Talk with them. Teach them. Train them. Don't leave them unto themselves. Look at verse 16. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son. So when he does wrong, correct it. Punish it. And he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and furious man aboundeth in transgression. Again, the Bible is explaining here that anger and harsh words are not the answer for correcting your child. He's saying again, you know, it needs to be physical discipline. Let's go to Hebrews 12 quickly. Actually, never mind. For sake of time, go to Psalm 89. Psalm chapter 89, verse 27. The Bible reads in Hebrews 12, while you're turning there, I'll just read it for you. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, a lot of people will tell you that it's wrong to spank your child with a belt. Now, who got spanked with a belt when you were growing up? Every hand in the room grows up. You see how our country has changed? I look across the room, and virtually every hand just went up. I got spanked with the belt. But somehow today, you know, oh, you spanked with the belt, you're evil, you're wicked, you know. Look, everybody in America, it's what made America what it is. We all got spanked with the belt. And some people will try to say that getting spanked with the belt is unbiblical. Now, I say they're a liar. Because they say, well, it's unbiblical because, you know, use the rod. Well, hey, I'm all for using the rod. But the Bible says here, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. That sounds more like a belt to me. Because to scourge means to whip. And my parents used to, this is the terminology that my parents used to use with me. You know, straighten up or you're going to get a whipping. Whoever, did you ever get that? Whipping? You're getting a whipping, you know? We're going to whip you, okay? And again, we're not talking about, obviously, anything abusive. It's just a terminology for spanking your behind with the belt. That's all there is to it. I remember back to the diaper thing. I remember my friends down the street when I was about 9 or 10 or 11 years old. They used to put on multiple pairs of underwear when they knew they were going to get a spanking. Has anybody ever known somebody who did that? You know, they put on multiple layers. Man, I never tried that because my parents would have seen right through that and they would have spanked me so much harder if I would have ever got busted with that. I never had the guts. They used to do it and they get away with it. Not my parents. I mean, my parents would have seen through that so fast. And so, yeah. And a lot of times I'm not going to just give... I'm not going to give my whole life story here tonight, okay, of all the discipline. But, man, I never tried that. that stunt. But anyway, he said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, meaning without chastening, meaning without scourging, meaning without punishment. He says, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You say, how dare you use that language in the pulpit? That's biblical language. God's saying that your child is a bastard to you. That's how you view your child if you don't spank your child. You know, you're basically making it out as if it's a bastard. And it says, if you are without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. What does reverence mean?
Respect.
He says we respected our parents because they disciplined us, because they corrected us, because they scourged us. And let me tell you something. Children whose parents do not spank them, they don't respect their parents. My wife showed me this crazy video, and I couldn't even believe this garbage. She showed me this video. I said, honey, I'm not going to watch this stupid video. Because I watched like 20 seconds of it, and I couldn't take it anymore. I said, get this out of my sight. It was some kid. It was this little fat kid in a pink shirt. This little fat boy in a pink shirt who is telling his mom that he hates her and she won't spank him. And this Dr. Phil is saying, don't spank him. Don't spank him, you know. You need to tell him you love him and everything. And she's just telling, I love you, son. And the kid just slaps her in the face. He just smites her upon the mouth. Okay? And this kid is telling his mom he hates her. And then this psychoanalyst, psychobabble, psychiatrist fool is saying, you know, now don't spank, you know. You just need to talk to the child and reason with the child. And you know, and then she tries all that. It's all failing. Okay? That kid does not love his mom. He flat out told her, I hate you, mom. Now look, I'm standing here today. I'm 30 years old, and I love my mom and dad. And I respect my mom and dad because they spanked me. And I respected them when I grew up. I had reverence for them. And I treated them. I never said to my parents, I hate you. I never mouthed off to my parents, you know, beyond a certain point. Because I never mouthed off to my parents beyond a certain point because, hey, you knew not to cross that line. Because there was a certain respect that you had. You're not going to cross that line. Okay, it's reverence. And the Bible says that we reverence our parents because they correct us. That's where the respect comes from. And then he said this. He said, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So we learn to respect God. Are you listening? By learning to respect our parents. So what happens to the child who grows up and has no respect for his parents? Guess who else he doesn't have any respect for? God. He grows up, and how many people do you know today that have no respect for God? They'll just blaspheme God, they'll blaspheme Jesus, they'll blaspheme church, and it means nothing to them. Why? Because they have no respect for mom and dad, and therefore they have no respect for God. And they have no respect for any legitimate authority figure in their life. And it says, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nobody enjoys a spanking. And if they are enjoying it, you're doing it wrong. Again, if they're smiling and laughing about it. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Psalm 89. Look at Psalm 89, 27. And, you know, I didn't really plan on spending this much time on discipline, but there's just so much scripture, and I just want to get to it all. You know, there's just a lot of Bible on this. But it says in Psalm 89, 27, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. And this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And by the way, this is a great passage on eternal security. He's talking about the Lord's seed. Look at Isaiah 53. It talks about Jesus Christ's seed that he would bring forth by dying for our transgressions. We're his children. The Bible says that if we believe on Christ, we are the sons of God. And so this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if His children forsake my law. So these are those who are saved, the children of the Lord Jesus Christ. If His children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. This is a great scripture from the Old Testament on eternal security, because David, of course, Jesus Christ, the son of David, that's who he's talking to. The seed of David is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's seed, or his children, are those who are born again, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if we forsake God's law, if we break God's commandments, he's going to come and visit us with stripes, with a rod. But he'll not take his loving kindness from us. And he will not break his promise to us. He'll not alter the thing that's gone out of his lips. He'll not change his word. He'll not break his promise that we have everlasting life and we shall never perish. And Jesus Christ said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But this is a great biblical passage on spanking as well and disciplining. God disciplines his children, and he expects us to discipline our children. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's get off of spanking somewhat here. And I'm almost out of time in the sermon, but spend all the time on the first point. But spanking your children's critical. It's key. Do it right. Be biblical about it. Do it early. You know, do it properly. Inflict pain, but don't injure. And make it to where it's not a joke, but that it actually creates reverence and fear in your children. And you know, your children will love you for spanking them. You know, if you look at the people who spank their children are happy and love their parents. Find me a kid who hates his mom and dad. They may be beating him up in a drunken stupor from now and time again. You know, I've seen people who get beaten up or, parents are breaking their nose and just abusing them and throwing them down the stairs. Yeah, you'll see kids like that who hate their parents because their parents are just abusive or whatever. But, you know, if you show me a child who's spanked with just loving discipline, loving correction, and biblical discipline, I'll show you children who love their parents. And I'll show you happy children. Look at my children. And you'll see happy children. I mean, you'll see a smile on their face. And I'm not the perfect parent, but I do parent my children biblically according to the scriptures, and they are happy. Do you see them walking in you? Yeah. But do you see a lot of children like that in public? Do you see them at the grocery store? Just a mean face, a frown. And children who are just, every day they're mad. Every day they're grouchy. Every day they're whining and crying, and they're never happy, they're never smiling, and the parents never spank. Because children who don't get disciplined are not happy children. Children who are not punished aren't happy. They need that punishment to bring balance in their life and righteousness and godliness. Because look, when you're godly, you have joy. An ungodly, wicked, right, unrighteous child is not going to have joy. Just like an ungodly adult's not going to have any joy. And the ones who are godly are going to have the most joy. Look at 1 Timothy 3. Here's an important part of child rearing. Church. Very important. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now the Bible tells us, we ought to know how to behave in church. We ought to know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. This is important. Now, first of all, you need to raise your children in church. They need to be raised in the right church. They're not going to know how to behave themselves in the house of God if they've never been to the house of God. And they need to be at a bona fide church where they're getting the preaching and teaching of God's Word. One of the best things you can do to raise your children is to get them in the right church. Get them around God's people. Let their heroes and the people that they look up to and emulate be people at church. Let them look around at people at church. Let them look at the men. Let them look at the ladies and see role models that are winning souls, that are living a good Christian life, that are serving God. That is critical to get them in the right church. They're getting the preaching, they're getting the teaching, and they're getting the role models. And they're seeing men who are manly and who are godly and righteous. And they're seeing ladies who are feminine and godly and righteous. That's the examples that they need being in church. But they not only need to be in the right church, they need to be taught how to behave in church. It's important. Now, a lot of people will criticize our church because our church is one of the very few churches that allows children in the service. And we allow children of all ages in the service. Have you noticed that? And it's not just because our building is wrong or something. You know, we're waiting to get that building where we can shuttle the kids really far away in a soundproof building. No, it has nothing to do with our facilities. We strongly believe in having the children in church. We want them to learn how to behave in church, and we want them to get the preaching of God's Word and sing the hymns from a very young age. And you'd be shocked how much these children pick up. You know that crazy story that I told a few weeks ago, the one from Judges 19 through 21, about the guy and his concubine? You know, the next day, my 4-year-old daughter said to me, "Dad," she said, "I like that story that you told." You know, she's 4. And that was a pretty heavy story. And she said, "Dad," she said, "that story was crazy." And she said this. Miriam said this. She said, "Those people should have gotten a hotel." You know, so I mean, she understood. She understood the basics of the story because she said, "Those people should have gotten a hotel." You know, and often I have my children repeat stuff back to me years later, stuff that I forgot that I even preached. And they'll repeat it back to you. And they'll bring up stuff. "Well, remember, Dad, you preached that sermon where you said this, that?" I'm like, "That was years ago. I don't even remember that." And they pick it up, and they're 2, they're 3, they're 4, they're 5. They're picking it up. They're understanding more. They don't need a dumbed down, "Somewhere in outer space, God." You know, they need a real Bible service so they can grow up to a real and go to a real adult. You know, they can grow up and go to big kid church. And by the way, Cornerstone Christian Church in Chandler, it's not big kid church. It's church for babies, okay? And I'm sick of that church. I'm sick of their billboards all over town, you know, telling how, you know, we're church for people who don't like church. Well, I want a church for people who do like church, because I love church, okay? And so, you know, they have all these baby churches where it's all a big rock concert, and girls are doing backflips across the stage, and it's a little 10-minute sermon from Pastor Perry, you know, and he's got his goatee, and you know, and he's cool and everything like that, you know. And what, I'm not going to get off on that, but I could if I wanted to, okay. But the thing is, we need to get them in a real church and get them used to what real preaching is. A lot of people have their kids in some kind of a dumbed-down children's church till it's 12, and then they wonder why their 13-year-old's bored in church. Hey, my children were weaned from the breast in this kind of preaching. Amen. They heard this preaching while they were in the womb, and they heard it while they were on the breast, and they heard it when they're a toddler, and this is what they grew up with, born and raised, and that's what we ought to be doing, having our children in church. But children need to know how to behave in the house of God. How do you train your children to behave in church? And again, a lot of people will criticize our church for not having a nursery and separating the children out. And we do have a room back there to change diapers and to, you know, if the child acts up, to pull it out. Because obviously there's a learning curve there when it has to do with young children. But I'll say this. The training for your child behaving in church, much of it needs to take place at home. Okay. Because you don't want to just constantly be having to spank your child in church. You know, constantly just spanking your child. Now look, I'm not against it. If your child needs to be spanked at church, then spank your child at church. If your child needs to be spanked at the store, spank it at the store. And you know, if more people would spank their child at the store, people wouldn't be scared of spankings because it would just be a part of life. And whenever you spank your child at the store, elderly people will walk up to you and thank you, you know, for doing it. Okay? Anybody ever have that happen? So, basically what I'm saying is, train your children at home. So that when they get to church, they'll already obey at church. And then they won't. Because look, we don't want to have a big disturbance here. We want people to be able to listen to the preaching. And this is why most people rip the kids out of the service and put them somewhere else. It's because they say, hey, the adults need to be able to focus. The adults need to be able to pay attention. We can't have all this distraction. And, you know, I see their point, okay, that we don't want distraction. But to me, I'd rather put up with the distraction and have the kids in church. Because I think the kids are the most important people in this church. And the babies, and we have a lot of babies in our church. I mean, how many children do we have under 1 year old? I mean, a lot. And when we went on the camping trip, I think, what did we count? 22 children, 9 and under, on our camping trip. And we've added a few more since then. And so we've got a lot of children. And I praise God for it. And I think they're the most important people under the sound of my voice right now are these little children. So I wouldn't take them out of here for the world. I never will. I don't care if our church is running, you know, 10,000. We're going to have the kids, because people will say, well, you can get by with it because your church is small. It doesn't. Have you noticed our church keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we keep having more and more kids, and they keep staying in the service, and it pretty much stays the same thing. Okay. But with that being said, we don't want to have an undue disturbance of bratty kids acting up and ruining the service. And so it's good to train your children at home. And you say, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to train my children at home to begin to... Here's what we've done to train our children at home when they're little, because they need to learn how to act in church. First of all, just being in church from birth onward, they get the picture. But here's a great training that we've done. We sit them down, and this is a great thing to be doing anyway. We line them up, sit them down, and read the Bible to them. Now, isn't that a great thing to do as a parent anyway? Read the Bible to your child? We read the Bible to them every day. We sit them down, line them up, and have Bible time where we read them the Bible. And guess what? They have to sit still and listen just as they do when they're in church. And that's a way where they learn how to act in church, because they learn how to sit still and quietly listen to the Bible. And then, as soon as they act up, they get a spanking. And they're put back down. You know, and then you can do more of the spankings and more of the disciplining in the comfort of your home. You know what I mean? And get the child to learn how to act. And then they know how to behave themselves in the house of God, because they've been through it. Your average kid today, people will say, well, you can't expect a kid today to sit there. Well, because you don't expect it, they won't do it. If you expect them to do it, they'll do it. Yeah, if you set the bar really low, you know, I can't even get my kid to sit in front of cartoons for that long. You know, here's a news spot. It's because you're putting them in front of cartoons. You know, get rid of the cartoons and they'll like church. My children like to go. My children were literally, I mean, today, Miriam is saying, can we go to church now? Can we go to church? Is it time to go to church? I'm like, no, it's not time yet. And when I said, what's your favorite part of church? She said, the preaching. I said, you like the singing? You like the preaching? What do you like? The preaching. Why is it that my kids are lined up there listening to preaching? My kids try to put on preaching CDs at home. And my wife has to tell them, no. You know, I've heard enough of that guy. You know? I'm sick of listening to that guy's voice all day. Okay? Honestly, because if you train them right, and my kids aren't perfect, and I'm not perfect, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, train them at home by doing Bible time. Then you're killing two birds with one stone. You're teaching them the Bible, you're reading them God's Word, and you're teaching them how to sit still. And that's a good skill that they're going to need later in life too. When they go to a job, and they're going to have to sit still and do repetitive jobs over and over again and obey their boss. Okay, we're teaching them how to live a normal life here. Okay, and then, I have a few more things, but we're going to call it good with that. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God, and for this guidelines. I'll be honest, dear Lord, if I didn't have the Bible guiding me, I don't even believe that I ever would have had children, because I wouldn't have known how to teach them, and it's such a big responsibility, I wouldn't have wanted to take on that responsibility. But Lord, thank you so much for the guidance that you've given in your word. And thank you so much for these teachings and these truths that we can have children that are really a joy. And I thank you so much for the 6 children that you blessed me with. And thank you that I love each and every one of them and I enjoy them on a daily basis. I enjoy spending time with them because they are well behaved because of your word, not because of my wisdom, but because of your word. And Father, I pray that others would have joy of their children and enjoy the benefit of having a righteous child by putting these principles into practice and obeying your word. And we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.